Blog Talk Radio.
Come on.
Passion Meets Purpose show. We want to thank you for joining us on tonight. We're looking to the Lord on tonight and wanting to share with you just for a brief few moments with regard to, does God really answer prayer? And we want to kind of use a subtitle, Help My Unbelief. Because I believe there are times when we come to the Lord, we're seeking the Lord, and it appears as though our prayers are not answered. What do you do when you're in those situations and it appears that your prayer has not been answered, that God has not heard your cry? But I just want to share some passages of scripture with you on tonight on When Passion Meets Purpose. We want to get our minds in tune and prepare to grow. Amen. God, we thank you on tonight and we give you glory, honor, and praise. For this is a day that you've made. We've made it our choice, God, to rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you so very much. We give you honor and praise, not only for what you've done, but for who you are. Amen and amen. Well, thank God for you and for you and for you. So God is so faithful toward us. And tonight we're giving him glory, you know, for that. And as I said, you know, we're just thanking God in all things. And I know that there are times, you know, when it appears that God has not heard our cry, but we're just going to talk a bit about that tonight and deal with the fact that God wants us to persevere in prayer. And we'll talk about whether or not sometimes our prayers are not answered. Is it a situation where God determines not to answer our prayers? That's something to think about. But nonetheless, we are going to deal with that a little bit on tonight. Just share some scriptures with you and go from there, possibly for, you know, another 30 minutes or so. Just encourage your hearts. We're trusting that you had a good resurrection weekend and that we did bless the Lord for all that he's done for us. Certainly magnifying him for getting up out of the grave. We believe that our Savior arose and that he does live and he ever lives to make intercession for us. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. And because we have a living Savior, and he's in the world today, there's a song that said, we serve a risen Savior, and he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, and I hear his voice of cheer. And every time I need him, he's always near. So we praise God on today. God is alive. Jesus is alive. But certainly we must enter into relationship with him. And like with every other relationship, it's not always going to be the way that we think it should be, or the way that we think seems fair or right. But God certainly is a God who knows all about our circumstances. He knows all about it, and he's already settled the end from the beginning. But tonight I was just drawn to men of prayer, and certainly all throughout the Word of God, there are great men and women of prayer, and those who found that they had to stand even in the midst of great adversity, and when it seemed as though God was not only seemed as though, but God was not answering the way that they thought that he would or the way that they had hoped. But we certainly are reminded of, you know, the fact that it's so needful, you know, for those coming up to have parents and not only that, caregivers around them who are prayerful, you know, who are seeking the Lord, who are looking to God and dedicating those young ones to the Lord, certainly in a time like now. But we want to think about individuals who made prayer a practice, and there are so many. But one who stands out for me, because we have so many prayers that are written throughout the Psalms, and we know that all the Psalms are not written by David, but we do know that he was a man after God's own heart. And some scriptures that came to mind, or that I was looking up before we got together tonight, that spoke to the heart of this man, because God said he was a man after his own heart. And, you know, he's one who had that childlike faith and the faith that would just turn to God at all times. And that's how childlike faith is. That's how children are. They realize that no matter what, you know, they have to come back around, and they're so loving, and they come back to those who are responsible for, you know, their care. They don't, you know, just walk away and say, well, I'm never going to, you know, they may say, well, I'm not going to be your friend, but within 5 minutes, they're back. But with God, he wants us to have a childlike faith and look to him always. And I'm thinking about David. And with David, he had cultivated a life of prayer, and there's some scriptures that were just so wonderful that stood out for me. There are many of them, but Psalm 55 and 17, it says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. It's something that David had made up his mind to do. You know, he was not a stranger to prayer. And just like I said, with, you know, just like with that child, when things didn't go right in his life, he didn't just turn away from God, but he always found his way back to God through prayer. And I'm thinking of another scripture in Psalm 95 and 6 that speaks of this man's heart. And it says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. You know, he knew that God was one who would answer prayer. And he said in Psalm 65 and 2, O thou that hearest prayer, to thee shall all flesh come. And that's the resolve that we have to have. First of all, to know that God hears us and that he's the only one really we can turn to. It's to him that all flesh shall come. Because in the end, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is the Lord. Now, I started out with these scriptures to just say that David had a life of prayer, and he's not the only one, but for the sake of the direction that we're going, I started out with that because his life was solidified in prayer. And I'm sure that many of us know the story of David and Bathsheba, how David had seen her up on the rooftop bathing, and he desired her, even to the extent of taking her, although she belonged to someone else. And she became impregnated by him. This was a grievous sin, you know, to God. But yet, when she became pregnant, had that child, we find David praying and asking God for the life of that child. He wanted that child to live, and he went to the one whom he knew could answer prayer. He had a situation that he found as a desperate situation, and so we find in the Word of God that he was fasting. He was praying. He was praying for this child to recover. You know, this child who was ailing, he wanted this child to recover. But God denied that request. Do you not know that the child died? He prayed for him, but the child died. But David did not back off of praying, because that was just a part of who he was. And even though he didn't receive what he asked for, his faith in God wasn't affected. His faith in God wasn't lessened. And so God took that baby boy. But we find out that God is faithful, and he always has a plan. And afterward, he gave him another son, and he gave him a son, Solomon. And we know that Solomon was a great blessing, you know, not only to David, but to the kingdom of God. And so David knew where to find pardoning. He knew to go to God to be pardoned, and God remembered and looked upon his heart and gave him a precious son, this son Solomon, who was able to build the temple and do that which David couldn't do because there was too much blood upon his hands. But do you not know that Solomon, being raised by or coming up under someone who was a man of prayer, turned out to be one whom God came to? And he went to God to offer sacrifice. Certainly when people were giving sacrifice, it was always a time of prayer as well. So Solomon had gone to Gibeon to offer sacrifice to God. And the Lord appeared to him in a vision and told him, ask of him, ask what I shall give thee. Now you think about this. If you're in prayer before God and you hear the Spirit of the Lord say to you, ask what I shall give thee. What do you think might be your request? I mean, that's something to ponder on, isn't it? Here it is. The Lord is giving him carte blanche, whatever it is. What is it that you would want me to give to you? But Solomon recognized his insignificance, you know, for what God had called him to. He said, you've made me king instead of my father, and I'm but a little child. I don't know how to go in and out among your people. You know, these are great people. You've chosen these people. You know, people that can't even be numbered. They can't even be counted because there's so many of them. So all I'm asking of you, God, is to give me an understanding heart to judge your people, that I can discern between good and bad. You know, for who's able to judge this thy so great a people? Now think about that. Most people tend to think that they already know what to do. I know how to judge between good and evil. I know what's right and wrong. You know, just give me a platform. But no, Solomon asked God, you know, for that heart. You know, give me to understand. You know, help me to know and to have an understanding heart so that I may judge your people, so that I know how to judge between good and bad. And so we know that the speech pleased God, so much so that after God had heard this prayer, he said to him, because thou hast asked this thing, and you've not asked for yourself long life, and I imagine that would probably be the request of a lot of us. I mean, you know, realistically, if you could ask for anything, you probably would ask for a long life, not only for you, but for your children, for your children's children, wouldn't you? I probably would. But he didn't do that. And so God blessed him. He said, you haven't asked for yourself long life. You haven't asked for riches for yourself. You haven't asked for the life of your enemies. In other words, you didn't ask me to kill them. This is all found in 1 Kings chapter 3. And we're not going to read. I'm just kind of paraphrasing, going over it. Starts at verses 5 through 15. So you can see it's kind of lengthy. So we won't go over all of it. Okay, but I just want to kind of give a glimpse of it. Okay, you haven't asked that. You haven't asked for the life of your enemies, but you've asked for yourself understanding, you know, to discern judgment. And isn't that what we need today? We need leaders who have discernment. We need leaders who can judge between right and wrong, who know the difference between good and bad and that which is of the world and that which is really of God. Discernment. And so the Lord said to him, I've done according to your word, just what you've asked me, I've done. I've given you wisdom, I've given you a wise and understanding heart, so much so there's not going to be anybody like you. There's been nobody like you before you, and there's going to be nobody like you to come up after you. Also, I'm going to give you that which you didn't even ask for. Watch this. God says, I've given thee that which you didn't even ask for. What is that? Both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. That's 1 Kings 3 and 13. So because of the fact that he sought God and his discernment and his wisdom, God added unto him. And listen to what he said in verse 14. And if, oftentimes the things that God brings our way are contingent upon something else. In other words, to get the benefit, the full benefit, you know, it's not to say that God gives us a blessing and then he's going to snatch it back. But there are things that follow, you know, oftentimes with a contingency. It says, if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. Yeah, he didn't ask for that. But all God is saying is, all I want you to do is walk in my ways. I want you to keep my statutes. I want you to keep my commandments. You didn't ask for this, but just do as your father did, and I'm going to lengthen your days. Solomon woke up. He realized that God had been speaking to him in a dream. God had given him a vision. But God made good on his word, didn't he? And so it's amazing what God will do when we dedicate ourselves to prayer. But it doesn't have to be eloquent prayer, but rather a prayer from the heart, a prayer that specifies what the need is, a prayer that recognizes our great need of God. First of all, he just spoke out of his need of God. Listen, what you're calling me to, Lord, there's no way in the world I can do this without you. How do I know? And, you know, he's not coming to God saying, yes, I'm your man. I'm the man of the hour. You know my father David. You know, I come after him. I'm a chip off the old block. No, he was saying, how in the world do I know how to go in and out among your people, so great a people? How am I going to do that except you help me, God? You know, so all I'm asking for is a discerning heart, an understanding heart. I got to be able to judge the people wisely. I've got to be able to discern between good and bad, because don't you know the enemy comes and he's so deceptive, and sometimes it looks one way, but it's not. And so we want to be discerning, because we have to recognize that except it be the Spirit of the Lord who reveals to us a thing, sometimes we'll miss it. And so he was wise enough, even in his time of prayer, to ask this of God. So this is one of the first things that I would share tonight with regard to the prayers of those who come before us, is to know the wisdom, to know the wisdom in, first of all, seeking God. Remember, I talked about David being that man after God's own heart, but made it his business to pray and seek God, you know, morning, noon, and night, he said. Remember, we read that. And then because he was that type of man of prayer, listen to what God did. It followed down through his lineage to his sons. And it's so important for us to be an example, you know, before our children, our loved ones. You know, pray when we don't feel like it. Pray when we can't see the hand of God moving. Pray in those times when the answer doesn't come like we thought it would. David could have said, well, I'm not going to be praying anymore. You know, I prayed for God to heal this baby and to give me this baby that I had with Bathsheba, but he took him. He died. Even though I fasted and I prayed and I sought God morning, noon, and night, but he didn't do that. He stayed before God. So God hears our prayers, and God answers our prayers. And so I want you to be aware of that tonight, and that God wants to stir our hearts to begin to communicate with him again and to take every opportunity. Now is the time. We're in the midst of so much turmoil in our world, and I believe that it's a time when God is pushing his people back to prayer. And, you know, in times past, people have said, well, we shouldn't question God. You know, we don't want to ask God about anything. Don't ask him any questions. But the word of God is replete with people asking questions of God. And God doesn't mind us asking questions. You know, what parent hates for their children to ask questions? I know that sometimes parents say, well, just because I said so. But God doesn't generally deal with us like that. He'll open up our understanding. He'll allow us to learn from our situations as we ask him. And so, big or small, whatever it is, we can go to God. You can let him know that you don't understand what it is that's going on, you know, in your life. And thinking about Habakkuk and how he was in a situation where he just could not understand why he was in the midst of such chaos in his life. You know, he was asking God, where in the world are you when I need you? You know, it's not only in my family, but in the land, in the nation. I'm a prophet. But he was dealing with many pressures, you know, the pressures of sin, difficulties, problems with the nation, difficulties with his own family. In Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2, well, Habakkuk is only two chapters. He asked the Lord, how long, O Lord, will I call for help and you will not hear? So, again, here's someone who's crying out to God from the heart. And this is what God wants from his people, is that don't walk around like you've got all the answers. Understand that I'm a God, you know, who cares. I'm the one and only living God. I'm the true and living God. And I'm expecting you to come to me when you need me most. You know, seek me, and that right early. So Habakkuk was dealing with something that most of us as believers tend to deal with at some point or another, and that appears to be unanswered prayer, just like it was for David. You know, he was complaining about the fact that, you know, God seemed to be silent. He was like, Lord, where are you? You know, I'm crying on you, crying to you. Why won't you hear me? He desperately wanted to know why God wasn't answering his prayers. And so it's not a matter of us being ashamed of the fact that we feel that way, because God does hear us, but he wants us to know that we can come to him with anything. There are times when our prayers are distant. In other words, there is a gulf between us and God simply because our sins have separated between us and our God, as the scriptures say in Isaiah 5. You know, it talks about God not being able to hear us because of the sin that is separated between us and our God. So oftentimes if we're harboring things or we're dealing with things in our heart, you know, then God doesn't hear our cry. And so it's not that he can't hear, it's that the evil, the sin, has separated between us and our God. Let's look then too at Psalm 66. It talks about there being sin in our lives and God not being able to hear then, and not being attentive or attuned to our prayer. So Those are things that separate and keep God from responding to us, or hearing our cry. But again, our position is to always cry out to him, is to always look to him and to come to him with a pure heart. In other words, a heart that says to him, this is who I am, this is where I am, just like we just went over in the scriptures with David and with his son, Solomon. Then there are times when we pray and the reality is that God will say no, just like he did with David. We may not understand his decision, but we have to trust him. Sometimes it's very, very difficult, you know, when we've prayed, when we've fasted. Think about that. He fasted and he prayed and he cried out for the life of this little one. Have you ever prayed for someone and they transitioned, they went on to glory? You know, what do we do then? Do we turn our backs on God? Do we determine, well, you didn't do what I asked you to do, so I'm not walking with you anymore? You know, I believe that I'm supposed to have whatever I say, but that's not rightly dividing the scripture, you know. We want to remember that God is sovereign, and sometimes he's going to say no when we pray, and it's going to be very difficult to understand his decision at the moment. But he'll go ahead and make sure that we're strengthened in the midst of. Because even though God has given a no, he's saying that I want you to wait. And he's promised if we'll wait, he'll strengthen us. Because the scripture tells us that they that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. You know, we just have to wait on him. And sometimes that's what he's saying. You don't understand right now, but I just need you to be in a waiting pattern. And that's how it was for David. He did not understand. But once he got word that that baby was dead, he had to get himself up, wash his face, clean himself up, come out of fasting and prayer, and go forward in the things of God. And that's what we have to do. We don't understand everything, but we must understand that there is power in prayer. And when we pray in the name of Jesus, you know, that we are praying to the one who is sovereign, who is Lord, who is King, who has the authority to say no, to say yes, to say wait. He has the authority, the sovereign authority. He yet heals, he delivers, he sets free. He'll step in to help us. But every time that we think it's going to go one way, it may not go that way, but it does not mean that God is not faithful. And that's what it is that God wants us to know. That's how he responded even to Habakkuk. He told him, even though you don't think I'm listening, Habakkuk, I'm working on a plan. And this plan is so much larger than you, is what he said to him in a nutshell. You can go to Habakkuk and read the story. But he's saying, I'm working on a plan that's bigger than you. I know you don't understand it now. And so there is such a bigger picture, a vast picture, and God has a plan. So, yes, he's called us to prayer and to be instant in prayer and to pray more. I believe that all that we're seeing in the land today is because God is calling his people back to himself, and he's calling us back to that place of prayer, you know, where we will call out upon the name of the Lord, because it's a name that is a strong tower. It's a name that will save. It's a name that will deliver. And when we cry unto him, he will move. God will move, and God will regard what it is that we pray unto him. So that's what he wants us to know tonight, that listen, even if you're struggling, even if you're just like the father in Mark 9:24, read that today, you're familiar with that, I'm sure, where the father had a sick child and he asked Jesus to come and to help him, you know, help his child. But at the same time, he followed that up saying, help thou mine unbelief. I do believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Jesus marveled that this man was saying, if you're able, if you're able to do this, you know, Jesus was saying, what do you mean, if I'm able? If you're able. No, Jesus says, I am able. I'm able to do this. With God, all things are possible. He was completely able to do it. So he wants us to get to that point where we believe that God is able, whether he does it or not. You remember when the Hebrew boys were about to go in the fiery furnace? They had to have that testimony. Whether he delivers us or not, we know that he's able. So the father said, this father of the young boy said, I do believe, help my unbelief. So in other words, he believed God, but he yet had reservation. And if that's you tonight, God is saying he wants you to come with complete faith in him. You know, he wants you to know that with him, all things are possible. Whether you see it turn out like you thought it would or not, our faith has to be in a place where we know that God can do whatever he has said he would do in his word. He is more than able to do it, more than able. Jesus marveled at the unbelief of people when he went various places. He's God. He has the power to do anything. It wasn't that he lacked ability, but he did tell us. We read in Mark 6 and also in Matthew 13 situations where he didn't do many miracles. Why? Because of their unbelief. And Mark 6, 4 through 6 says he marveled at their unbelief. He marveled at it, and he said that a man is not without honor except in his own country. You know, the lack of ability to do miracles in his hometown among his own people is not something that talks about his lack of ability, but it's because of their disbelief. Anytime we're walking in unbelief, it is a plan of the enemy to circumvent the plan of God in our lives. So we can cry out to the Lord tonight, help my unbelief, because God, I want to believe you with everything that's within me. I may not understand it. I'm sure you've had situations where you've prayed. We're having situations now that we're praying about all across the land, that things that we just don't understand. People being murdered, innocent blood being shed, and people whom we've prayed for, and they're transitioning and they're going on to glory. But you know what? God is saying, I'm calling my people to a place where they'll just look to me and they'll call upon me, even in the midst of these circumstances. Yes, I do answer. Yes, I do hear. But it won't always be as you think. But trust me that I'm sovereign. And cry out to me out of that place in your heart that recognizes if you have unbelief, ask God to help your unbelief, because it will hinder your faith. Ask God to help your unbelief. Recognize that we don't have all the answers. You know, just as Solomon did, recognize that we don't know how to walk this walk. God, I don't know how to go in and out among your people. You know, sometimes we look at people as just people. We think we can handle it. We know how to deal with them. But these are God's people, his great and precious people. And we're numbered among them, but only God knows how to deal with his people. Only God can give the wisdom that it takes to deal with his people. He shows us how to pray for them. He tells us how to handle and minister to them. It takes an all-wise and knowing God to do that. So listen, if you're in any position of walking among God's people in any type of leadership, or even if you're just what they call a lay member, and nobody is just anything, but as a child of the King, you're connected to others in the body of Christ, and we need to seek him for how it is that we walk this walk. You know, he wants us to be single-minded. He wants us not to be lukewarm. He wants us to be zealous after good works, you know, and have a zeal that's according to knowledge, because whether you know it or not, a little doubt, just a little doubt, can destroy everything. Once doubt creeps in, it can destroy everything that the Lord has sought to build up in your life, because we have to trust him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So whether it's what we consider small matters or great, we have to wait on God. We have to trust him. He says complete trust you know, complete trust, and to know that true faith demands action. So it's time to stop sitting back and waiting for something to happen. God saying, when I call you into a place of waiting, it doesn't mean inactivity. It means a place where you're acting with wisdom. You're doing what I've called you to do, and I will move you at the appointed time into the places that I've called you to. But waiting is not necessarily inactivity. So God, being the Lord of our lives, is calling us to a place of great discernment, calling us to a place of great commitment. Yes, and there will be testing. But cry out to him from that place in your heart. It is a heart thing. And he already knows our hearts. Just like with David, if there's something that you've done, no need to go through a lot of self-torture. Just ask God to, you know, forgive you. In some situations, he's not going to allow certain things to go forward, even something that you think is good. God may say it's time out for that. That's up. That's over. You know, David didn't see any reason why he couldn't have his son, his baby, but God didn't allow that child to live. But he did give him Solomon. God has something great for you. God has something wonderful for you. When you don't get what it is that you think you want it from God, just wait on him. God has a plan, and he'll work it out, and it'll always be for your good. Amen. So I'm thanking God for what he's doing in our lives tonight. I'm thanking God for a word of encouragement, and we bless him. We bless him on tonight. Be encouraged tonight. Trust God that he has your best interest at heart. Trust him on that. Know that God knows the end from the beginning. He already knows about it. So we just come in agreement with his word. He already knows what you're dealing with. He knows what you're concerned about. He knows all about it. Oh, my God, I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful. So listen, we're blessing God on tonight for you and for you and for you and those who will listen to this broadcast later by archive. We're blessing God for them, because we believe God is going to speak a word into their lives and give them to hold on. God is saying, hold on, don't give up. Trust me for everything. Trust me for everything, even when you can't understand it, even when you can't trace me. Just trust me. God is saying tonight, trust me when you can't trace me. God, we thank you and we bless you on tonight. We give you glory. You are God who does really answer prayer. We've seen all down through the word, Lord God, how many times of old the saints prayed unto you, and you always delivered. You always came through, and we thank you for that on tonight. Our true and living God, our forever and eternal King, in the matchless name of Jesus we pray. Thank God. Amen. Listen, be with us next week. We're going to have a special guest with us next week in the person of Elder Vicki Johnson. You'll hear more about her, and so we'll be talking more about her and the sacred sisterhood and other things that she is over. But bring somebody else with you at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. And be with us for When Passion Meets Purpose. God bless you and have a great evening.